Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Apostle Crystal Lee. Welcome to Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. We are getting our session underway here. Today, we're going to celebrate Torah, though, because tomorrow is the Sabbath, and so we're not live on the Sabbath. So we're going to celebrate Torah today. We're going to do it today. So celebrate the word of Yah with us. Come and assemble for the reading, the hearing, and the referencing of Yah through fellowship around Torah. It's this bread that he gives us that is life to us, because we don't live by what we eat alone, y'all. You know that, right? But by the spiritual food we are fed, and by his spirit we are led. You know, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is destruction. But when we have identified in the way, truth, and the life, then when we get to what they consider the New Testament, which is a reflection of the original foundation that was set, then we understand the abundance of life that's been offered to us, that someone has come to fulfill the thing that was our instructor, that was our teacher, that was a thing that we were to learn from, to see the outcome, the actual outcome of everything that was put in place. I love this passage for these readings for today, just as I love all of them, but I love it because it's dealing with the heart of man. It's dealing with the tablets of our heart and the commanded writing. You know, Torah represented the original writing in stone, building more conversations that the Father had in Torah. But what I love about the word is that it was simply just an identification of what was to come. He desired to write his law on the table of the heart of man. And this is why children, even children, know when they've done something wrong. Even if they haven't lived a long time, they can identify right from wrong. Now, they may not be wise enough or mature enough to make proper decisions. They have to learn. They have to be trained. They have to be taught. But Torah in their heart, understand, it was written in their heart. And so when they do certain things, this is why they kind of look over their shoulder like, I don't know, did I think I stepped out of bounds? Because it's something written in us. It's a code that's written in us. And you know what my desire is today? That we tap into the code, into this code that upgrades our system, into this code that unlocks our divine living situation. The code, you know, that's what computers need or programs need to run on a computer system, to run in this system. The code that is written in us is the code that we need to be operating from, because any other code is not only going to alter how the software operates, not only going to alter that, but it's going to alter the appearance. You know, code is not just for what's behind the scene, but it's for what's before the scene, what people see. Now, the code is written a certain way, and in the background, it's working a certain way, but it also has the attributes of what's visible to the eye. The code has everything to do with what's visible. So my prayer today is that as we're reading Torah, we tap into the code and we recognize that there is a desire of Yah's heart to not only change what's on the inside of us, but to begin to transform us outwardly so that the code that people see is a code that draws them. You know, they call it an interface, you know, or whatever we're looking at is the interface. So a lot of companies spend a lot of time trying to get the interface right, trying to get the thing that people see, the aesthetics of the thing, to get it right so that it's attractive, so that it draws the attention of people. So, you know, Facebook, Google, all of these other TikTok, all of these other companies, they went through different processes or different seasons of their company where, you know, if you know anything about Facebook, you know that it started out as a college app, right? And it was just supposed to be this one thing, but over time it expanded and then the look of it was different. And then the feel of it, this is what the algorithms, all of these things have to do with the experience that we're having. You understand? So Father, today we just glorify you. We magnify your name, that you are causing us to identify the proper code, that we might tap into the code and understand that we've been coded for the covenant that you called us to. We've been coded to live in this world and to do the things that you've called us to do. You sent the Son to show us how to function from the code, not just inwardly, but outwardly. There was something that was a draw to people. We thank you this morning that divine algorithms of heaven are flowing through our being. So the things that need to happen when they need to happen are happening, and we're not blocking those things. We're not stopping those things by functioning from old places. We give you praise and glory this morning for writing your desire on the table of our heart. We don't have to look for your desire. It's written in us. It's in our DNA. It's our code. So we thank you today that this word that we're going to hear, that this bread that we're going to be fed, we'll be able to live from it and live of it. It'll strengthen us. Hallelujah. It'll give us fortifying measures. It will give us what we need to move in the things that you're calling us to move in this hour. We give you praise and we give you glory. Hallelujah for justice. We give you praise and glory for your righteous government. Because that's what we're looking at in today's Torah portion, your righteous government. We give you praise that you did not allow our enemies to have the best of us, to get the best of us, but you saved the best for last. Yeah. See, in our youth, we were a lot different. We had some foolishness going on in us, things that had not been trained, some things that we were unlearned in. And so some of us may feel like our youth got the best of us, that the best of who we are was consumed in that time of our ignorance. But I'm declaring today that that is not so, that the Father has redeemed the time for the sons. This is a moment of redemption. And that your youth is returning, your strength is returning, hallelujah, by the wisdom and the power of our King. It's our time as we're walking into the promise, and even as Israel was redeemed in their physical bodies before they left Egypt, they walked out of their hole having been beaten, raped, all kinds of things that had happened to them in that enslaved place in their captivity. But when you release them from captivity, every part of what was done to them physically was lifted. There was not one sick among them. They didn't lack anything. And as we're walking in our process, as we're walking through this place of wilderness, you are causing us to recognize the wealth and the riches that are in our house. Oh, we thank you today that you are the one that's given us the power to get wealth. This is what you said to them. It's me. I've given you the power to get wealth that I might establish. So you establish something in the wealthy place. There's something that you're establishing in the sons in the wealthy place, not just the physically wealthy, not just the mentally wealthy, not just the spiritually wealthy, but the financially wealthy. There is a wealthy place across the board that you're calling your sons to, and we're thanking you for the commas that are being added to us. This was something that you had me write some notes about yesterday that I didn't release, but today, the commas that are being added to us, we are thankful for. And we understand that the commas are about the covenant. The commas are about connection. The commas are about what you're calling us to do. It's about the call, not just for us to exhaust all of the resources upon ourselves, even though your desire is that we live well, because that's how you live. So you've already given us the map. So let us see today that movement that we need to be making to fulfill the map, the movement and the momentum to get to that moment of realization that you're taking us to a specific destination to become royal heirs of nations. And you've already made us heirs and joint heirs, but your purpose is to make us rulers over nations. This is what our inheritance is about. So we thank you today and we love you. Hallelujah. We thank you and we love you today. So many people are after the supernatural. It's funny to me that not many people that are churched are as after the supernatural as those who are not aware of who he is or even accepting of who the Father is. But they do understand that the supernatural is paramount to mankind's existence. It's paramount to understand. It's paramount to operate in. It's paramount. And they are operating supernaturally, but not authorizedly. They are operating in the supernatural that opposes what the Father has established. It is yet supernatural. It is. Good morning to those that are on the line. Today's Torah theme is Parashat Shoftim. That is judges. That's what that means. Shoftim is judges. This Parashat is in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18 through chapter 21, verse 9. The prophetic portion for today is in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12 to 52, verse 12. And then the good message portion is in John chapter 14, verses 9 through 20. I want to take just a moment because I felt a push to declare a release over the people of Yah. This is the season of release concerning us. And anything that's been held up, that's been blocked. See, I went through a season of blockage. And it was funny because it wasn't even that much to block. I mean, you know, what people try to hold on to is really not what they think it is. Maybe they think it's big because of their mentality. They don't have a wealthy mindset. They don't understand the purpose or the use of the thing. But I sense a release. There are persons or entities that are carrying and building up and treasuring a thing that belongs to us. Now the word says that the wealth of the wicked, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, but you know, you will never tap into that wealth unless you either go to war, listen, and it is war either way, but I want to separate it for this purpose. Unless you go to war, you go to work. When I say go to work, it could mean whatever the Father has called you to in the season, whether it's your work in a 9-to-5 and you're being called to the top. It's what he told us some months ago. He's calling us to the top, right? And you're taking over by coming into your rightful position in that organization. Nonetheless, he's calling us to the top. He said, listen, there's a release and people are attempting to hold up the release. But the Father says, if you will go to war and or go to work, the release will be given to you. That was something that the Father was instructing me to do. It took me about a month to do it. you know. Took me about a month. I was kind of finding, it wasn't that I was ignoring it because I was looking for ways to get it done, a simple way to get it done. But I wasn't finding what I was looking for. I was looking for a template. I was looking for something that I could just kind of, you know, make my own, change the pictures, change the logo, change the wording, just use the template to kind of build. And I wasn't finding it. But I promise you, last week or this week, early this week, I began to walk through that door. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that as soon as I walked through that door, this was what was connected to this conversation that the Father was having with me. Because what we don't understand about obedience is the blessings that are connected. We have no clue all that's connected to what he's telling us to do. This is why obedience is necessary. And you've got to love it no matter what it feels like. You've got to love obedience because the blessing causes you to forget the pain. Listen, it's like a woman carrying a child. When she gets to that table and she's bearing down and she's feeling those contractions and that pulling on the inside of her and that movement, and then she has to push. Baby, when that push comes, you're no longer thinking about the pain. I mean, the pain is over. Now you are thinking about the future of what you're holding. And my grandbaby is laughing in her sleep. I guess she's listening to my voice. Funny. But it's an exciting time to be in. He's calling us. He's calling us to more. He's calling us to the wealthy place. And I'm declaring to you today that if you will align yourself with the war or the work, it's going to be something that you have to align yourself with, that he's adding commas to your life. It's his desire to add the commas. So forget about what's been sustaining you. Yeah, forget about that, because if you keep the remembrance of what has sustained you, you may miss the commas that are coming, because you'll be trying to stay in a place where he sustained you before and not understand that it's time to move. I'll give you an example of that. Elijah, he was at the brook of he was at the brook, right? But when it was time to move, there were indicators of that movement. And the first indicator is that the brook dried up. So most people would just be frustrated. Oh, the brook dried up, so now I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. No, don't be mad. Go to war or go to work. Get the instruction of Yah in this season and begin to move in the direction that he's declaring. And I can assure you, I can assure it to you, it's predictable. His promise is predictable. The outcomes over our lives are predictable, and they're based on our responses to what he's saying to us. Let's look at Torah today. Again, we're going to start with Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 21. Go on ahead and write some notes, because I promise you, you're going to need them. And we want to just discuss as best we can before our time up here. Some of the things that we heard, some of the things that we saw. I'm going to get ready to go ahead and play that for you. And Deuteronomy 16, starting at verse 18, going through 21, verse 9.
You should appoint judges and officers in all your towns that your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteousness. And you shall accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and averts the cause of the righteous. Justice and only justice you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not plant any tree as an Asherah beside the altar of the Lord your God that you shall make. And you shall not set up a pillar which the Lord your God hates. You shall not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep in which is a blemish, any defect whatever, for that is an abomination to the Lord your God. If there is found among you within any of your towns that the Lord your God is giving you, a man or woman who does what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, in transgressing his covenant, and has gone and served other gods and worshipped them, or the sun or the moon or any of the host of heaven, which I have forbidden, and it is told you and you hear of it, then you shall inquire diligently, and if it is true and certain that such an abomination has been done in Israel, then you shall bring out to your gates that man or woman who has done this evil thing, and you shall stone that man or woman to death with stones. On the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses, the one who is to die shall be put to death. The person shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. The hand of the witnesses shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If any case arises requiring decision between one kind of homicide and another, one kind of legal right and another, or one kind of assault and another, any case within your towns that is too difficult for you, then you shall arise and go up to the place that the Lord your God will choose. You shall come to the Levitical priests and to the judge who is in office in those days, and you shall consult them, and they shall declare to you the decision. Then you shall do according to what they declare to you from that place that the Lord will choose. You shall be careful to do according to all that they direct you, according to the instructions that they give you, and according to the decision which they pronounce to you, you shall do. You shall not turn aside from the verdict that they declare to you, either to the right hand or to the left. A man who acts presumptuously by not obeying the priest who stands to minister there before the Lord your God, or the judge, that man shall die. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear, and not act presumptuously again. When you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only he must not acquire many horses for himself, or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses. And the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. When he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment, either to the right hand or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. The Levitical priests, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the Lord's food offerings as their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their brothers. The Lord is their inheritance as he promised them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from those offering a sacrifice, whether an ox or a sheep. They shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach. The first fruits of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the first fleece of your sheep you shall give him. For the Lord your God has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons for all time. And if a Levite comes from any of your towns out of all Israel, where he lives, and he may come when he desires, to the place that the Lord will choose and ministers in the name of the Lord his God, like all his fellow Levites who stand to minister there before the Lord, then he may have equal portions to eat, besides what he receives from the sale of his patrimony. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. Because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you are about to dispossess listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. The Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? A prophet speaks in the name of the Lord. If the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. When the Lord your God cuts off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, you shall set apart three cities for yourselves in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall measure the distances and divide into three parts the area of the land that the Lord your God gives you as a possession, so that any manslayer can flee to them. This is the provision for the manslayer, who by fleeing there may save his life. If anyone kills his neighbor unintentionally without having hated him in the past, as when someone goes into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and his hand swings the axe to cut down a tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes his neighbor so that he dies, he may flee to one of these cities and live, lest the avenger of blood in hot anger pursue the manslayer and overtake him, because the way is long, and strike him fatally, though the man did not deserve to die, since he had not hated his neighbor in the past. Therefore I command you, you shall set apart three cities, and if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he has sworn to your fathers, and gives you all the land that he promised to give to your fathers, provided you are careful to keep all this commandment, which I command you today, by loving the Lord your God and by walking ever in his ways, then you shall add three other cities to these three, lest innocent blood be shed in your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, and so the guilt of bloodshed be upon you. But if anyone hates his neighbor and lies in wait for him and attacks him and strikes him fatally so that he dies, and he flees into one of these cities, then the elders of his city shall send and take him from there and hand him over to the avenger of blood so that he may die. For I shall not pity him, but you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from Israel so that it may be well with you. You shall not move your neighbor's landmark which the men of old have set in the inheritance that you will hold in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. If a malicious witness arises to accuse a person of wrongdoing, then both parties to the dispute shall appear before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who are in office in those days. The judges shall inquire diligently. And if the witness is a false witness and has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him as he had meant to do to his brother. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. And the rest shall hear and fear and shall never again commit any such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. It shall be life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people, and shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you the victory. Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, Is there any man who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Is there any man who has planted a vineyard and has not enjoyed its fruit? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man enjoy its fruit. And is there any man who has betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go back to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further to the people and say, Is there any man who is fearful and faint-hearted? and go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own. When the officers have finished speaking to the people, then commanders shall be appointed at the head of the people. When you draw near to a city to fight against it, offer terms of peace to it. And if it responds to you peaceably and it opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall do forced labor for you and shall serve you. But if it makes no peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall put all its males to the sword. But the women and the little ones, the livestock and everything else in the city, all its spoil, you shall take as plunder for yourselves. And you shall enjoy the spoil of your enemies, which the Lord your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not cities of the nations here. But in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded, that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods. And so you sin against the Lord your God. When you besiege a city for a long time, making war against it in order to take it, you shall not destroy its trees by wielding an axe against them. You may eat from them, but you shall not cut them down. Are the trees in the field human, that they should be besieged by you? Only the trees that you know are not trees for food you may destroy and cut down, that you may build siege works against the city that makes war with you until it falls. If in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess, someone is found slain, lying in the open country, and it is not known who killed him, then your elders and your judges shall come out, and they shall measure the distance to the surrounding cities. And the elders of the city that is nearest to the slain man shall take a heifer that has never been worked and that is not pulled in a yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with running water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word every dispute and every assault shall be settled. All the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. And they shall testify, our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it shed. Accept atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, and do not set the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel, so that their blood guilt be atoned for. So you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from your midst, when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord.
All right. We got that. Got good stuff there. Lots of conversation to be had in there. Kind of want to go to the prophetic portion today. And let's listen to that really briefly, and then we're going to go ahead and jump into the conversation.
I am he.
And our prophetic conversation is coming from Isaiah chapter 51. Starting at verse 1, I think it's going to 52.
He who comforts you. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you were afraid of man who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. Wake yourself. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has borne. There is none to take her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have happened to you. Who will console you? Devastation and destruction, famine and sword. Who will comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering. The bowl of my wrath you shall drink no more. And I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down that we may pass over. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. Beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart. Depart. Go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out in haste, and you shall not go in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Mighty God. All right. We are at the almost at the end of this thing here. I may as well just go ahead and see if we can get through John chapter 14, verses 9 through 20. Very rarely do we read all of them, but I'm going to do it today. So let's go ahead and do it.
Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you.
Wow. All right. I'm going to open up the line real quick because I know I'm going to go ahead and talk right through this. We only got maybe about 15, 20 more minutes. So I'm going to open up the line just for a hot minute. And anybody that would like to share may share what's on their heart or their mind concerning what they've heard today. Powerful passage. Really life-changing when we really listen and give attention to what's being spoken. But if I don't, you can definitely cut in. I'm going to go ahead and begin because, like I said, we only have 20 minutes. So, you know, the first part of that parashat discussed justice and judgment. Really important. And the government of Yah was really discussed here. They were going into this promise. This was not the same judges that were established in the book of Samuel. I'm sorry, in the book of Judges. Hold on. Yeah, this was a different kind of conversation here. This was a different kind of conversation. This conversation was beyond what we were seeing, what we were to see, and what was to come. This was about them becoming a nation that would have solutions not only for themselves, but to rule and to reign. And that rulership and that reigning would have to first be a self-governing before they could govern other nations, before they could determine things for other people. So he positioned them in his governmental structure first. And then he said, in that governmental structure, now I'm going to send you out because there should be no perversion, no unblemished, no blemished sacrifice. So I need an unblemished sacrifice. If there are people that are worshipers of the sun and the moon, you know, people that go after things. And when it got to the whole going after sorcerers and soothsayers and that kind of thing, that's really the kind of age that has always been, but we really live in that age now because things are so readily available. And instead of people, this is another part of that justice, because that word justice was repeated. It's really judgment, judgment, justice, justice. That word justice was repeated twice, not because he wanted to reemphasize justice, but because there were different levels of justice. So justice that you're going to abide within your camps, and justice is going to be given to those that, you know, are that become a part of you or that come to you, that you come into contact with, right? Because notice when you said, when you go out to a city, which this is going to give you a detail that all of the nations that were being dispossessed were not giants, okay? There were giants in the land, but not every nation that was sitting in the land was a giant. So he said, when you get to certain places, allow your peace first, you know, come in peace first. Try to do some peace talks first. And if you can do peace talks, then they'll become your servants. This is just how it is. But if it can't be no peace talks, then you have to kill them all. It's just how it works, right? He began to talk about that person that's the sun, the moon, and the worshiper, and that this is an abomination, and that those people were to be exposed, revealed. Now, of course, we can't kill people in this season, but we can kill influence. And a lot of people don't like these kind of things. I know false leaders, and I've heard them say this. This is how I know they're false, because they really despise exposure of leadership. Well, if leadership is functioning in a wicked way, if leadership is functioning in witchcraft, if leadership is functioning in places that they shouldn't function, they need to be revealed. They need to be exposed because their influence needs to be killed. And the Father said the way to do it is by two witnesses or more. It'll never happen upon one witness. But what I loved about it even was that this part right here really did something to me this morning. That the first accuser, the one who first identifies with it before he brings it to the attention of others, is the first one to throw the stone. You know, I want his hand to be laid to the charge first. because other people are just connected because he's brought it to their attention. So if he was fraudulently bringing something to the attention, he's guilty of something. You understand? Because he's led the people into something. It's just, I love the way that the Father identifies how a thing should move and how it should flow, right? His desire was that the people, his chosen, purge the evil from the midst of them. Now, that just doesn't speak to what's around us, but what's in us, right? And I love the fact that the judgment has levels, you know, that if it's beyond your area of expertise, if it's outside of your scope or your capacity, your metron, then consultation outside of your individual tribe has to be made. You have to come to the priest, to the Levite for the verdict. You have to come to those that I have established over the entirety of a thing. And see, there are leaders that should be set up or established inside of a thing, but then there is a leader that I've called that manages that thing. They're not the lord of the thing, but they're the manager of that thing. And so if you can't handle doling out the verdict, you need to come to them. And don't be presumptuous about the answer. You know, when the answer is given, you got to follow the answer. I love this because it just establishes the way of Yahweh. It establishes his desire for his children to be able to successfully do the thing that he's called them to do. We know that we hear these things all the time. You know, if you have an issue, just go to God. That's great. And I teach my people that they need to have personal relationship with him, that there are times when they may not be able to reach me. So you're going to have a personal relationship with the Father. But if he's given you a leader, you should be able to reach out. If you're not understanding something, if you need to get clarity on something, you should be able to reach out. And I promise you, the majority of people that are connected to leaders cannot reach out and touch them. They may be able to hug them and shake their hand after service, but they are not available. And that is not true leadership. It's not true leadership. You have to be touchable. You have to be reachable. And even if you're not reachable directly by everybody that's in your midst, because I understand that there's a multitude and then there's the core, but the core should be able to reach you, to gain access to you, to identify what solutions look like for the people that you have placed them over. That means that there should be responsibilities inside of the whole, you know, things that have been delegated to other people. And this is a thing that, you know, people have roles and people say, you know, there are responsibilities. They have these different, you know, organizations within organizations, like the usher board and mother's board and all these different things. Okay, great. But we're talking about people that are given to assist leadership with leading the people, okay, so that the complete burden of the leadership doesn't on the leader, but those that have the spirit of the leader can now assist the leader in raising up the people. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a lot of leadership nuggets in there. He talks about death to those who don't follow the leading of the set judge. It took me to the scripture in the realization of the foundation. So I hate saying old and new, but for the sake of this conversation, the realization of the foundation, meaning the new, what they call the New Testament, where it talks about people not vexing their leadership because they watch for your souls. Don't vex your leadership. Like, don't make them work hard, you know, because they come to me and talk to me about you. You do know that, right? So if they come to me and they're crying out and they're talking to me about you and there's a vexation, there is damage that's being done to their person, that's a problem for the Father. You know, just like it's a problem for the Father across the board for us not to mishandle one another. He's very particular about those that he set in authority over situations not being mishandled, not being taken for granted. You'll even notice in this thing, he reminds them of some of the statutes, some of the things that they need to do concerning the Levite, you know, that they inherit based on what they're giving them, you know, first fruits. You're going to bring that to them. You're going to bring them this particular thing, that particular thing. He gives them instructions so that they are not left out, because you know what, at the end of the day,